While the stewards are distributing notes for the morning message, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Thank you, sir. Acts chapter 27. I know some of you might say, well, I don't need to turn to it, Pastor. It's on the screen. But some of you are back further than you can read. And it's good practice for you to find your way through the Bible. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's smile is upon you today. Now don't say that while you're frowning. But after all, you represent God's smile. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you today that the most important thing that happens in the next few minutes is your voice in our hearts. Lord, in the midst of increasing knowledge, may we also increase in grace. Divine enablement, because we exercise faith, we mix faith and the Word. Help us today to hear from you that this earth will evidence that we have been with you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. All right, we've been looking at the subject of faith. As I mentioned to you, we've been given notice by the owners of this building that we are to leave in the next number of months. And so we know that before too long we will not be meeting here. You will not be able to sit in the seat that you're sitting in now. So get over it. I mean, and to me, that's quite exciting. That's quite exciting. Sometimes they offer courses in this world on crisis management, but the greatest course on crisis management is right here. Right here. So we are not considering today meeting in your front room for services. Aren't you glad? And when you really capture the nature of your journey, as the Bible says, the just shall live by logic. No, wait a minute. It doesn't say the just shall live by logic, does it? Have many of you ever lived by logic? Only Kojo. And the rest of you are all truth tellers? How many of us have ever lived by logic? Come on now. Probably still do from time to time. Some of you are thinking, well, what's logic, Pastor? No, it says the just shall live by faith. So, breaking that down, you don't live if you're not living by faith. You're doing something other than living as God defines it. If you're not living by faith, you're living by your own wits, your own intelligence. And I admit, you are quite intelligent. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are really intelligent. But now I'll tell him, but I'm sorry, that's not good enough. Because, see, the Bible says, the just shall live not by intelligence, but by faith. So if we don't get this message, this truth, as part of the way we conduct our lives in God, we don't live. We don't live. We have more hardship and difficulty and disappointment and struggle, frustration, perplexity, anxiety, and worry. If we don't learn to live by faith. And we understand that you got to live every day, don't you? When you get out of bed, it's not like, well, okay, I can just take today off from living. You ever tried that? No, you've got to live that day. You've got to have a perspective. You've got to make decisions. You have to do things. You have to know what to do. You have to handle things. And you're either going to do it one way or the other, the way you used to do it, which was by logic, or by faith. And so when you come into Christ, God says you're a new creation, and because you're a new creation, you have a new way of living. Nobody taught me this when I was a new Christian. I just thought I carried on living the way I'd always been living, at least in terms of how I lived. I knew there was a different standard. I knew that there was a righteous standard where I had violated the righteous standard and I was a sinner. I knew all that was part of the Christian experience. Christ put His righteousness in me and on me from the moment I put my faith in Him. But nobody taught me that I had to live life differently. I just kind of thought that you live life like my parents did and like everybody else did who was a Christian. You went to your job and you did your job and then you came home and did whatever you did when you were home. And on the weekend, on a Sunday, you went to a meeting in the building and you know, you read the Bible when you thought of it and you prayed when you were in trouble. And that's, you know, that was kind of the way you live life. And everybody was, you know, they were just, what's that great hymn? I'm only human? No. Not a hymn, is it? Nobody taught us. You have to live differently. And the default position is this right here. Right here. That's the default position. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every entry in Google. No. Can you think of it? In the last 5 years, mankind has accumulated more knowledge than all of history put together. And we're dumber than ever. We have fewer answers to what's wrong with our planet. Oh, but Pastor, you know, if you had the right political persuasion. Yes, I do. And it's not to do with politics. It's right here. The kingdom. So, it's recognizing you have to make a major shift. A major shift. You say, but Pastor, I've been living a long time without this shift. Well, today's a brand new day. You can make the shift to learn to living by faith instead of by your wits. Because if you live by your wits, you're going to get really worn out. And you're going to have a lot more sadness and disappointment and difficulty than God ever intended you to have. We have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. You don't please God? Well, who are you pleasing? Who are you living for? And so it's vital for us to capture something at this juncture of our lives and of our collective journey. The only way forward in a good way. If anybody can process days until they die. But the only way forward in a good way is by faith. And that's why it's so essential that we capture this great truth in the way we think. You know, it doesn't say the just shall live by knowledge. It says the just shall live by faith. As I said to you last week, probably everybody in this room knows more Bible, knows more truth than they have in operation. Often I minister to people who are sick and I say, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Yes, I believe that. What are they saying? I know 1 Peter 2:24 is in the Bible, for by his stripes you are healed. But just knowing that it's in the Bible is not faith. As I said to you last week, the scribes and the Pharisees memorized the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They memorized it and all of the messianic prophecies. But when Jesus himself was in their face, they couldn't recognize him, even though he was the fulfillment of all those prophecies. So it isn't knowledge that enables us to live well. We need knowledge. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and knowledge. You need some knowledge. That's what you're getting right now, is some knowledge. But you will live on the basis of faith. See, you know, it's been an interesting perplexity to me in my journey as to how familiar I could become with something, but how disconnected I could be from the power of it. Have you ever had that thought about something you found in the Bible? I remember years ago I taught in a Bible college and I taught the Gospels. That was one my assignment. I was to teach the Gospels. And so I studied the Gospels. I bought all kinds of commentaries. I read the commentaries. I made the outlines. I meditated. I pored over them. Hours and hours and hours studying the Gospels. I thought that some sort of consummate knowledge of the Gospels would bring the Gospels to life inside of me. But as I was sharing with a pastor recently, it didn't. It didn't. And some years ago, we were in a meeting in north of here, and there was a very strong presence of God, and I fell on the floor, and I had a real encounter with the Lord. And as a result of that, God spoke to me and said, I want you to start reading the Gospels. You know, you can have an argument with God. I've read the Gospels a few times. I want you to start reading the Gospels. And so I started reading the Gospels. This time, I'm not just reading it to get the information of the book. But now I'm reading it to hear the voice of the author. Hello. Faith comes by hearing. Nobody taught me when I was getting my training. When you read the Bible, read to listen. Nobody taught me that. Read to get information. I mean, after all, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's the way they come, and this is how it unfolds. Genesis and Exodus, this is how Bible history unfolds. You get that information. That's why you study. That's why you have a computer. That's why you have all the commentaries, the books, etc., etc., etc. It's just to get the information. Nobody said, read the Bible to hear the author. And so, I suffered unwittingly, but nevertheless. It doesn't matter how sincere you are. If you're sincerely wrong, you're still wrong. I suffered. There was something inside of me that says, Somehow I'm not getting it. When God spoke to me and said, I want you to read to listen, something amazing happened in my life and ministry. And here in Acts chapter 27, you know the story is that Paul is a prisoner, he's on a ship, everybody is about to die. And he comes with an encouraging word to them because he has a dream through which God speaks to him. And he shares with them in verse 23, last night an angel of God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and he said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God, because I memorized the Pentateuch. No, he was a Bible scholar. No, he says, I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Faith comes by hearing. So that's where we're trying to develop this hearing lifestyle. Turn with me, page 4 in your notes there. Very quickly, we talked about the first place you have to go if you're going to be a faith person, live the faith lifestyle, is you have to learn to say no to some stuff. You have to learn to say no. Everybody say no.
No.
Now say it again. No.
No.
Say it again. No.
No.
Titus 2:12 says you have to learn to say no to everything that's ungodly. The Holy Spirit teaches you to say no. The Holy Spirit teaches you. The Holy Spirit teaches you, according to Titus 2:12. He teaches you to say no. To say no, not think no, say no. Everybody say no.
No.
So you have to say no to the signals that come up in your body. I was in Pakistan some years ago and I had a problem with my eye, and it was before I had left to go to Pakistan. I'd been to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, I've got some medicine for that. And he gave me the medicine, and my eye not kept streaming, and then I had diarrhea from the medicine. Sometimes the solutions we find don't help. They kind of make problems. I'm just telling you. So my eye is one problem. I don't need the other problem. So I stopped taking the medicine. Anyway, I get on a plane. I fly to Pakistan. I'm there with Pastor Dean, who will be here in a couple of weeks. And we're in very rigorous circumstances. And the schedule is unbelievable. And I get up in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, and my eye is streaming. And, you know, your eyes are sympathetic to each other. I'm sure you've discovered that. And so if you're kind of doing this with one eye, the other one tends to kind of do that with it. And so I have to function at the highest level in order to be effective. So it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I know in about 2 hours it's going to be close to 40 degrees centigrade. And we're going to be in a meeting. And Pastor Dean, thank God, this day will be up first, and then I'll be right after him. My eye is streaming. So I'm up. While I'm washing up, I'm looking to the Lord. I'm thinking, this is not right. You know, it's a strange thing. You can have a certain mentality about even little things. Just kind of accept it. You know, your knee bothers you. Oh, well, I'm getting old. Where did that thought come from? Come on now, where did that thought come from? There's only three sources of thought: God, self, and the devil. It's easy to accept little things rather than saying, no, I'm not accepting this. I'm not going to accommodate this. Whatever you accommodate will dominate. Did you get that? Whatever you accommodate will dominate. So I said, no. This is not right. Because you know what my subject is with these Pakistani pastors? Same one I'm talking to you today. Faith. Faith. So I got to be a faith person. Just for me. But also for the people I'm supposed to be teaching. So I said, no, I'm not accepting this. And immediately, God heard my prayer and He came into my spirit and He gave me a word. And the word was Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17 says, God who calls those things that are not as though they are. He calls those things that are not as though they are. Now, if you go around doing this in the workplace, they're going to fire you. But remember what I told you. You have to learn to live a different way in the kingdom of God. You have to learn to call those things that are not as though they are. So my eye wasn't whole, so I'm going to start calling it whole. So that's what I did. If you'd have been there, you'd have heard me say aloud, you were healed. I said it aloud. Several times. My eye's still streaming. I said, you're healed. You're healed. You say, Pastor, isn't that kind of Christian Science, you know, mind over matter? No. Anytime I'm obedient to the Word of God, I'm not plugging into some alternative source. And you see, the devil always has a counterfeit that looks like something, but it's not. What I was saying was based on God's Word. You'll never go wrong operating on the basis of God's Word. Dean preaches, my eyes streaming. I'm sitting behind him, listening to him preach, doing an awesome job as he does. My eyes still streaming. I'm saying, you're healed. I'm amening him, and then I'm saying, but you're healed. Dean finishes. We have a little break for some water. Drank about 3 gallons. And then it's my turn. Now I'm going to get up to the pulpit. It's about 40 degrees centigrade. And they had this sort of carpet roof, canopy, marquee type thing. And because they wanted to video it, they put two of these huge television lights right here. So I could hardly see the people. I opened my Bible to announce the topic, and my eye is 100% manifested whole. Now I'll come back to that, because this is a vital ingredient in yours and my understanding and way of living life. If you don't live what life according to the way God is designed, you can't expect it to go well. And you'll just kind of soldier on while it beats you to death. Or the devil does. So, the components of faith. Here on page 4 it says, the new lifestyle of faith, or the faith lifestyle that we embrace, is so new and different. It's a totally different way of living. And we have to get educated into it and embrace it. We instinctively go back to living the way we used to live, experiencing all the results of the ways of men. I'm not talking about the ways of sin. I'm talking about the way you process information, the way you handle information, and what you do about that information. If you only get information from your five senses and from this world, and that's the way most people live, the information they get from their five senses, oh, my elbow hurts. Okay, that's some information from your body. Some information from your stomach that some of you are getting right now. Oh, I'm so hungry. That's some information. And that information informs a decision. Or something else. And you can Google it. Get some information. That's the world we live in. Is it you get information. If you don't have an answer, you get some information. Get some information. But if you don't get some information from heaven, you'll only live by the information you get from this world and your five senses. That's why we need information. We need information from heaven. All right, so very quickly, first of all, faith thinks. Faith thinks. If you're to be a faith person, you have to think the thoughts of God. You got to think the thoughts of God. How do you think the thoughts of God? It's your Bible. Your Bible is full of the thoughts of God. Just like your thoughts come out in your words. So if we listen to your words, we're listening to you. We're listening to what you think. If you take the thoughts of God and start thinking the thoughts of God, you're really saying, God, I want you to be here. I want you to be here. And God helps us with this aspect. He says, just so that you can capture the truth of this, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Now, what's he talking about here? Okay, it's Old Testament, so we understand he's talking about human thoughts. Human thoughts. But you can have human thoughts and live by human thoughts as a New Testament believer. God says there's a huge difference. Mine come from heaven to life on earth, to inform life on earth. Yours are just on earth. And those generally lead to death. There is a way that seems right unto a man, Proverbs says, but the end thereof is death. So, you have to say, okay, wait a minute, I got to think differently. I can't just own a Bible. It's amazing how many Christians today own a Bible, but they don't see the significance of getting the Bible into their head. Get it in your head. In your head. So you can't be a faith person without thinking differently. And if you're going to think differently, you've got to think what God thinks. For example, the verse that's on the wall behind me. Everybody say it aloud together. Nothing shall be impossible for you. Now let's change the pronoun at the end, because that's how faith comes. Faith is something that you hear personally from God. It isn't just a truth. It's a truth for you. So let's change the pronoun at the end. Nothing shall be impossible for me. Say it again. Nothing shall be impossible for me. So putting this into context of thinking as a faith person is supposed to think. I have to cultivate this as a mentality. I have to cultivate a nothing will be impossible for me mentality. That's God's thought. But Pastor, you don't know me. You know, I didn't get a whole lot of education. I don't really know the Bible that well. I'm not, I've got history and stuff, and so I'm not a very strong person. Shut up. We're talking about developing a mentality. The world says when you come out of the womb, you're pretty dumb. I mean, they don't say that, but that's the assumption, isn't it? You ever known a really highly intelligent baby that was going to, give us a new way to develop rockets? No, they can't even communicate. So our world says, if you're going to live life on the planet, we've got to inform your journey through education. Now, how many of you love school? I see. Not very many takers today. God bless you both. But school is good. I think school is good. It's important. But school that you went to didn't inform or give you the mentality you needed for living. It gives you a mental acumen and ability for doing a job or pursuing a career or some skill, but not for living. Living is bigger than your job. God says, I want you to develop a mentality, a way of thinking. And that's why I love this verse that God gave us. It's a challenging verse, isn't it? Isn't it? Come on now. Be honest. To develop a nothing will be impossible for me mentality. Can I encourage us all to develop that? You have to start by saying no to some stuff. Is God a liar? Absolutely not. So if he said nothing will be impossible for you, then the difference between just knowing that and knowing that it's on the back of the wall at the church building that we're about to leave is faith. It's faith. Faith, you've got to cultivate that. Faith thinks. If you're going to be a faith person, you have to think differently. You have to think like this. Nothing will be impossible for me. Nothing. Nothing. I've stood in all kinds of situations where I looked at them and I assessed it. Listen to me. I assessed it with my mind and what I know about human life on the planet, and the instincts I was feeling were overwhelming, a sense of overwhelming and fear. And in that moment, when I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit, what I felt like was, well, I'd like to get out of this place. I wish I wasn't here right now. Because feeling fearful and overwhelmed is not a comfortable position. But I was only one word away from seeing that all changed. One word. Why? Because faith comes by, and this is the victory that overcomes even our faith. 1 John 5:4. So, if we're going to be overcomers, we have to develop this kind of mentality. Nothing will be impossible for me. So, I want you to say that again. Nothing will be impossible for me. And I'd like you to say it not to me. I'd like you to say it to the thing that came up in your mind when I was talking a few moments ago. You know, the thing or things. You know, whether it's a health issue or whatever it was, I want you to say it to that. Nothing will be impossible for me. Okay? Okay, so we got to think differently. And how do you do that, Pastor? How do you cultivate this new mentality? I got the old mentality. I was born with that. I practiced that. I've done that well. But I want the new mentality. I want a mentality, a way of thinking about life, processing life, making decisions and judgments, etc. The new mentality. I got to think differently. How do I do that? You know, it used to be a great frustration to me. I spent some time trying to analyze what seemed like a birth defect. You know, I'm a Christian, but am I really? It was, you know, I know the conversion I had was so wonderful and beautiful, but it seems like the thing that I desire in God, it isn't happening, and so there must be something in here that's fundamentally wrong. And I operated on that kind of premise until Satan, I didn't realize it, beat me into the ground with great discouragement. And then, you know, God is so faithful, so wonderful, and so merciful. When you pursue Him, even when you don't have questions answered, even when there's kind of major ways in which you got it wrong, and you don't even reconsider those because that's the way you've been doing it for so long and you think it's okay or right or whatever. In some crisis moment, the merciful God comes and He whispers something to you that changes your whole outlook, your whole perspective, and gives you a way forward. And I thank God for that. I said, you know, if you're going to be a faith person on the inside, if you're going to think my thoughts, you can't just read the Bible. You have to learn to do what it says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's turn there. Some of you are very familiar with this verse. Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your coffee table." Oh, sorry, no. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." We'll get to that. "Meditate on it at least once a month." Whoa. How often do you meditate the Bible? You know, we meditate each other. Come on. We do. Do we give God the same honor? Say, you know, she said that, and, you know, probably not what she meant. Probably meant that. And if she meant that, boy. And if that's true, what are you doing? You're turning over somebody's words in your mind. You're turning it over. And the more you turn it over, the more exercise you get by it. Oftentimes negative, sometimes positive. But you're like a cow chewing its cud. You've got it going on inside you. God says, you want to learn to think like I do? Meditate in my word. Meditate, meditate, meditate. If you want to be a faith person, you're going to have to meditate. Because He says, then you'll be prosperous. Don't meditate. Carry on. Just carry on. You can keep coming to meetings. Come to meetings. You'll still make it to heaven. Yes. You'll still make it to heaven. But what about your assignment? What about your journey? Meditate. Meditate. You read a passage of Scripture, and you don't read a whole chapter and a half. Like, no, you read two or three verses, and then you pause. Remember what I said? You read to listen. Faith comes by reading. No, faith comes by hearing. So God, in His wisdom, said, I'm going to take my thoughts and put them in a book. Not so you can memorize the book, but so when you read the book and listen, you can hear me. And when you hear me, it ceases to be just ink on a page and becomes dynamic power. Dynamic power. I taught the Gospels, but I wasn't seeing any miracles. I was reading the book, but I wasn't reading to listen. Read to listen. Read to listen. So if you're going to be a faith person, you're going to learn to read to listen. You're going to meditate. Having a memory bank is not sufficient. It's important. It's good to memorize Scripture. I memorize Scripture. You see, what happens when you take time to meditate is you're pausing, you're saying, okay, God, I've read this now, and I'm not claiming that my reading it, my understanding the words, is what really makes the difference. What really makes the difference is when you breathe on it. You see, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. You hear the Spirit's voice. Another word to translate spirit in the New Testament is breath. So you're reading along in the Bible and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit goes, ha! And you think, wow! And all of us have had that kind of experience. You've read a passage that you've read many times. And then all of a sudden, just like that, even though you understand the letters and the meaning of each of those letters together and the words together, and but you didn't hear it from the Spirit. And when you hear it from the Spirit, it's power. Because Jesus said this in John 6:63. He said, the words that I speak, he didn't say the words that I wrote. He said, the words that I speak, not the words that I wrote. The words that I speak are spirit and life. I close with this story. I have a Japanese pastor friend. About 25 years he struggled to establish a church in Japan. He had, I think, 13 people, which at that time was a good-sized congregation. But it was a huge struggle for him. And he got frustrated. And he cried out to the Lord. And he's reading the Bible, and one day the Holy Spirit breathes on a passage of Scripture. I want you to get this. Not just informationally, I want you to hear the Holy Spirit in it. He gets on this one verse where Paul's describing his ministry, and he says this: when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. And so as he tells the story, he says, I'm in my office, just me and God. And he says, I'm just pacing back and forth. When I'm weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I am weak, then I'm strong. He says, for a few days, he's just taking one little phrase of Scripture, meditating it, talking it aloud. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I get the weak. Measuring what I've done with my life and ministry and gifts and whatever God's given me, I'm pretty weak by comparison. I get that. But this contradiction. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. God, what does this mean? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Day after day, he's working with the Word. Finally, he thought, okay, I'll check and see if there's anything in the Greek. Comes across pretty well in the Greek, exactly as it shows up in King James and other translations, except for one adverb that he noticed. And it's the little word, then. When I'm weak, then. Everybody say then. Then I'm strong. So he looked up the word then, and it means this. At that same moment. So then, that kind of gave him some fresh energy, information. When I'm weak, then at that same moment I'm strong. When I'm weak, then at that same moment I'm strong. And he's working with this. There are times tears are coming out his face as he's trying to get something. But he's working with the word. Finally, one day as he's on the floor saying it, when I am weak, then at that same moment I'm strong. The Holy Spirit came on him. And he heard those words the very first time. Remember what I said? He's been saying them every day. You can quote to me a lot of stuff. He was saying it every day. But in that moment, he heard the author say it. He thought, I get it now. I got it. I've assessed all of my resources and found myself insufficient. But in the very moment that I put my faith in Him, that is when I am incredibly strong. And from that moment, lying on his back in his office with tears coming out his face, when he heard the voice of God, his church began to mushroom. And he grew one of the largest churches in Japan. Simple thing. Cultivating a different mentality. You got to think differently. When you read to listen, then the author can come and say, oh yes, I'm going to say it to you now. And when he says it to you, yeah! It isn't just information. There is something alive inside of you. You know his faith. That's power. That makes a difference. Stand to your feet. I know that all of us are faith people. We're here because we have put faith in the atoning work of Christ on the cross. And as a result, the biggest miracle that ever could happen to you happened to you. God made you a new person. So I'd just like you to stretch out your hands to the Lord today. As I pray today, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to help us all cultivate, develop a nothing shall be impossible mentality. By the hearing of the Spirit's voice. And when it doesn't go right, you're going to say, nothing's impossible for me. I've heard from heaven. Yes, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do about that? What is it? What's the word from heaven? What's the information from heaven that I need about this now? Father, thank you today that you were so gracious, so kind, and so wonderful, so faithful. Lord, you put us on a new path today. We stepped on holy ground today. a new way of living. I pray, Father, according to that which You have assigned me, that every member of this house will hear from heaven. They'll hear from heaven in the daytime, in the nighttime, in dreams and visions, the still small voice, while meditating, while reading to listen. They will hear the word of the Lord. And it'll be just as it was in the Old Testament. Now the word of the Lord came, and 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 the word of the Lord came. And every member of this house will have the word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. And my boss was about to fire me, but the word of the Lord came to me and said, "Don't worry about that. I got a better one for you." And I got a really big bill, but the word of the Lord came to me and said, "I've got it covered." I went to the doctor, but the word of the Lord came to me and said, "Don't worry, that's just a temporary symptom." The word of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that by Your word, the worlds were made. And our world is made by Your voice heard and believed in our hearts. We receive this today in Jesus' most precious and powerful name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people, move the chairs, we'll set up the table and eat.